Today what I'm talking about is salt and light. And we want to reach people with the gospel in the world, right? We see stuff like this, and it's just amazing to see how God's working all around the world in a way that we can really support children. For those listening on podcast, by the way, this that I'm talking about is the compassion talk we just had, looking at compassion children around the world. If you don't know what that is, then look up Compassion UK online and you'll see about it. And it's just great to see how God's working. And we've got to remember that these children, each of these children here, they're real lives. And all the children that Compassion support are real lives. And actually, God is working in and through those people and in and through the people that are involved in Compassion. So we're part of the kingdom of God. We're seeing God work in different people's lives. And actually, it's not always our responsibility to share the whole gospel. Sometimes it's just a case of, in this case, supporting financially, writing the letters, and entrusting in God to do other work. And that's what I'm talking about this morning, is reaching people and being salt and light in the earth. So the passage I want to look at is Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. And it says this: "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." You know, when we think about reaching people with the gospel, we think about mission and evangelism, we think about outreach, we sometimes think about street evangelism. We don't often refer to this kind of passage where it talks about us being influencers, us being salt of the earth, us being light of the world. And you know what, the other day I was at Tesco on the 8017, and there's a new Costa coffee shop there. And if you don't know, go check it out. And as we were coming out of Tesco, there was this promotion for Costa because they got a new shop, and they had one of those spinny wheels, and you can spin it and you might win a prize, right? So we got the kids to go spinning, because we've got two kids, we've got two spins. We're like, yes. So the first one lost, and then the second one won, and we got a £5 voucher for Costa, and we thought, yes, brilliant. The thing is, I'm such an evangelist, I just want to share the good news. So I went out into the car park, and I wanted to just share it with people. And when we parked the car, there was like these two grumpy guys in a van that, when I came back, they'd still been sitting there an hour later looking still just as grumpy. And I thought, I just want to share the good news. You can get £5, get a Costa for free, you know. Anyway, in the end, I kind of was a bit of a coward and I didn't share it with anybody. But, you know, it's this idea that actually, when you know something's good, you want to share it, don't you? And we hold the keys to the kingdom. We have the answer to life itself. People spend their whole lives striving for things, striving to know what the meaning of life is. And actually, we've found that. And that's not being arrogant. It's not saying that we've been really smart and we worked it out. But just like me, not expecting it coming out of the Tesco's and seeing that thing there, we've fallen into God's grace. We want other people to know the same, right? So What I want us to know this morning is that our lives really matter. The way we live out our life matters, as we are kind of that salt of the earth, light of the world as well. And I want us to come away today with a challenge and with an encouragement as well. The encouragement is that I hope that people come out of here feeling kind of reinvigorated to actually say, yeah, the way I live my life matters. I'm going to live my life in a way that encourages the kingdom of God to work in people's lives. Sometimes when we hear about reaching out to people, we hear about spreading the gospel, we end up feeling guilty because we feel like maybe we don't do enough, maybe our capacity's not big enough to do more, maybe we're not effective enough, we're not as effective as so-and-so that's so good at speaking and so good at talking to people and praying for people. That's not the purpose of what I'm trying to say today. What I'm trying to say is that actually we're already salt of the earth and light of the world. And we need to live that out with more purpose and more confidence in what God's called us to do individually and as a church as well. So that's the encouragement. The challenge is that I believe God's put something on my heart this morning to challenge us that sometimes we see sharing the gospel as like these vertical moments in time. And let me explain a little bit about what I mean about that. So if we imagine our life as like a timeline, even not just our life, but just like our daily lives, our kind of weeks and our months, then what happens is we have certain things in place that we see as opportunities to share the gospel. Maybe it's Sunday church, maybe you wanted to invite someone to church, maybe it's Alpha, maybe it's one of our events, maybe it's a coffee that you're having with a friend or a conversation that you have, maybe it's something good that you're doing in the community. We often see these moments and think that's an opportunity to share the gospel, that's an opportunity to reach people. But what God's placed on my heart this morning is that not to just look at the vertical that happens every so often, but the horizontal. What happens in our day-to-day lives? How do we live in our day-to-day lives that's living our lives for God and being the salt of the earth? So what tends to happen is we kind of, when we wait for those opportunities, we wait for those vertical moments, in between that time, we kind of become stagnant. And I think we all know what it's like when you talk to someone and they share something that's going on in their life, and then you kind of go, okay, you know, and you chat to them, oh, sorry to hear that. And then you walk away and you think, I've not offered to pray for them. I barely even acknowledged what they said. I didn't spend much time. I just kind of felt awkward and walked away. And actually you think, I'm becoming a bit stagnant. I've noticed this in my own life, that sometimes you just become stagnant and you don't really try and influence people. You don't really try and pray for people and support people. And all that happens then is that when you then think, oh, I'm going to invite someone to Alpha, you're going by this tiny little thread where you've not really built much relationship or done any groundwork, and you're expecting them to suddenly turn up at Alpha, to a church they've never been to before, and turn up and suddenly be hit by the Spirit. And sometimes it happens, but often it doesn't. So I think some of this stems from a misunderstanding of what it means to share the gospel, right? I spoke earlier about some of those classic things, your street evangelism, going out and preaching. And we hear Bible verses like this, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, that says, Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So we hear the word preach, and we think of certain kind of connotations with that word, right? So sometimes you hear people say like a clip where they were really getting a point across, and people say, yeah, preach it. And I remember when my daughter was about 1.5, maybe near 2 years old, and she heard someone say preach it, and she just went round for the next half an hour. We've got like a video on our phone of her just going to everybody, just going, preach it, preach it, preach it. And she didn't have a clue what it meant, but she was just saying it. And the more that we laughed, the louder she got. And by the end, she was like angrily going out to people, just going, preach it, preach it, preach it, like that. And we were just, okay, fair enough, Aria. But you know, it's this word that we kind of use a lot. And actually, nowadays, it's kind of, people say, I don't like to be preached at. That person was preaching at me. Maybe if you've got friends or family that aren't Christians, sometimes they say, oh, don't preach at me. And funny thing is maybe we're not doing a very good job with this Bible verse, because when I speak to people in the community, what they often say is, you know what I really like about Horizon Church is I come to the coffee morning, or I come to this, or I come on a Sunday, and nobody preaches at me. And actually, it's easy to look at this verse and go, maybe we're not doing it right. Maybe actually we've misunderstood what that word means. And that happens a lot with words. The word meaning changes over time, particularly with slang. Like, I used to be fairly up to date with slang. I'm unashamed to say I don't have a clue these days what different words mean, and I don't even try. I don't even make an effort. When I go to the youth group on a Thursday and we help out there, honestly, most of it just goes over my head, and I probably better that way, because I probably would rather not know what it has to mean. I'd rather just be the kind of the less relevant youth worker rather than the one that kind of tries to be like a 12-year-old or something like that. So anyway, looking at the word preach in Greek, the word is kairouso, and it actually means to proclaim or to declare or to communicate a message. And it appears throughout the New Testament, describing situations like John the Baptist, when he declares that Jesus is coming. He says a Messiah is coming. He's going to bring salvation for the people, repent, turn back to God. You know, he's saying all that stuff. That's him proclaiming the word that is often translated as preaching. You see that with Jesus as well, when he goes out to all the different towns, and he goes and he brings healing, and he speaks to people about the kingdom of God. And it uses the word preaching, but actually it's much more than that. In fact, in Luke chapter 8 verse 1, there's two Greek words that are kind of joined together in translated into proclaiming. So there's kairouso, which means preach, as I just said, and there's euangelion, which means evangelize. And the most translations actually just take both of those words and put it into one as proclaiming. So even translators seem to think, actually, you know what, preaching isn't just about verbally communicating, it's much more than that as well. And what I want to challenge us this morning is that we need to redefine what it means to proclaim the gospel in our context. There was a guy called John Wesley. You might have heard of him in church history. So there was John Wesley and Charles Wesley. They were brothers in the 1700s. So John was the 15th child out of 19 of his family, and Charles was the Charles Wesley, 18th out of 19 in his family as well. So they had a big family, and John Wesley and Charles Wesley were known for being preachers, but they're also known for writing a lot of the hymns that we probably don't sing so much here, but some of the more traditional hymns that have been sung in churches throughout history as well. And what I love about John Wesley is that he was a preacher, but he made a massive mistake when he first started, because he was trained in the Anglican Church. He went over to North America, and when he was there, he fell in love with someone, but he decided, actually, you know what, I don't want to get married yet because I'm kind of focusing on the mission. Let's wait a bit. She didn't wait around, and she married somebody else instead. And a while later, her and her husband came to his church, and he refused to give them communion, which he said there was like a reason, because she didn't quite do something the right way when you come into the church. But basically, it started this legal process where he actually ended up fleeing the country just to get away from it all and coming back to England. So he made this huge mistake. And when he came back, it says that he was quite depressed, and actually he felt very inadequate at kind of traditional preaching in that time. And what happened when he came back is he realized that in the Anglican Church, which was the main church at the time, only people who had been properly trained could preach. And what they meant by preach is not going out into the streets, not sharing with anybody else, but just sharing it at church on a Sunday. And what happened was, basically, John Wesley realized that a lot of these leaders were actually corrupt, and they were just preaching to the wealthy and the influential, and they were just preaching with their own little circles. And he looked out at the world, and he saw plenty of people who were in need, plenty of people who didn't have money, who were struggling day to day, and thought, these people have never heard the gospel. And so what he did, which was revolutionary, it doesn't sound revolutionary to us, but it was then, is he went out, and other people did the same around this time, and they'd elevate themselves, they'd find something to stand on, where the people were, maybe at their workplace or whatever else, and he'd preach the gospel, and thousands of people were saved through the works of people like John Wesley preaching in that way. And what happened was, eventually this formed the Methodist Church and other church movements as well. So through John Wesley, all of this stuff happened, and it was all because he redefined what it meant to proclaim the gospel to people. So at the time, it was one particular way, and he saw a different way and said, I'm going to do it that way as well. And what we need to be is people who redefine what it means to share the gospel in our place. So how does it look like for Horizon Church to share the gospel on St. Helier Estate? What does it look like for us to do that with the people that we love and know in our lives as well? So the encouragement I want to give you there is that if you kind of feel sometimes like sharing the gospel, reaching people, is this tiny little box that you've got to be an evangelist, or you've got to be good at speaking, or you've got to be someone that's really dynamic and good at praying for people, then actually it's time to think outside the box. It's time to think, God, where do you want me to influence other people? So that's the kind of more vertical stuff I was talking about, those moments of opportunity. Now I'm going to get onto that horizontal side as well. And this is another thing that Jesus tells his disciples about reaching others. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 to 20, he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So Jesus makes it clear, go and make disciples. It's not just about people coming to faith, it's about making disciples. And you look at Jesus, it talks about all those times he went to towns and he preached and he proclaimed the message and he brought healing and he did all these other things. But actually, the most important thing he did is he walked life day to day with people and he discipled people. He had his 12 disciples, he had a bigger group with that as well, and he had women and children that would follow him as well. He embodied what I talked about earlier, salt and light, into the world. And he had those moments of opportunity, but he also lived it day to day as well. So what I want to encourage us is that we have a calling to be salt of the earth, people of influence, in not just the moments where we have church, not just the moments where we gather with others, but in the daily grind of life. And I want to give a real life example. So when I moved back to this area 2 years ago-ish, there was someone that I'd been a childhood friend with, and I saw him again when I was back at my parents' house, and got chatting to him, said that I'd moved back to the area. I had one of the moments where I walked away and I thought, you know what? I've known this guy my whole life. I've never once thought, I'm going to share the gospel with him. You know, I'm going to be praying for him. And so I said to him, I'm starting at this new church. I'm the community pastor there. You know, do you want to come along? And he was like, yeah, I might come along. And he never did. But I started praying for him. Then his life took a bad turn, and he had some situations in his life, some circumstances that became really difficult. And so I said to him, you know, I had one of these conversations where I was talking to him about everything. We met up to play pool together, and we had this whole conversation, and I walked away and I thought, I've not even said to him, I'm going to pray for you for this. And so I thought, right, that's it. And so I spoke to him and I said, look, I'm going to be praying for you for all this stuff. I'm going to be praying that that God helps you out. So if we look at the horizontal thing, that was the first layer almost. There was the layer of prayer. I was praying for him in my personal life, but I also told him as well that I'm praying for you. The next layer was being ready to take action. So he got to a point where actually there was situations where he didn't have food that he needed, and he'd come along to the coffee morning, and we managed to get people together in the church to start making meals and have a little rota to send food over to him and his family so that they could support each other. And it was almost like we had this layer of prayer, and then we had this layer of action as well, where actually we're ready to take action and help this person. And then there was another layer, which was actually trusting in God. Because when I first came to faith, I felt the need to kind of shoehorn the gospel into every conversation. When I was 18 years old, when I came to faith, before that, the last few years, I'd been spending most of my days out on the high street in Sutton, getting up to all sorts of mischief, taking all sorts of illegal substances and other stuff. And when I came to faith, I took a bit of time out of that that friendship group, because I just needed to sort myself out. And then I went back. And when I went back, I just felt like every conversation I had, I just tried to just tell the whole gospel in people's faces. That what I said earlier, right, about preaching at people is what I did. And all it really did is just push people a bit further away, really. And I realized that if I wasn't high or drunk or whatever else I was supposed to do with these people, then basically they didn't really want to be friends with me anymore. But what I've realized recently is actually that there is faith-filled evangelism. It's listening to the Spirit and trusting in God, that when you speak to people, he'll give you the words to say, and you take those promptings, but actually you also trust that God's at work. And so with these families of compassion that we're looking at today, as Caroline said earlier, sometimes you think, well, you know, what's it going to do to just give money to one child a month, because there's children all over the world that are suffering? And actually you think, you know what, I'm going to make a difference for that one child. I'm going to write letters to that one child, and I'm trusting in God that he's going to continue to work in his life, in his community's life, and around the world as well. Sorry, I said his or her. And so what I found with my friend is, as I kind of did that, I just kind of listened to the prompting of the Spirit, kept on just, you know, sharing a little bit, saying I'm praying for you, supporting him in action. And then the other day I'm out with him, and he said to me, you know, you're not the only pastor I know. And I said, oh, right. No, I didn't know that. And he goes, well, there's someone at work. I mean, he's not a pastor, but he kind of helps out at a church a lot. And he invited me to his church in Tooting. And I went along, and everybody like gathered around me and started praying for me. And I was just sat there. Part of me was just going like, oh, come on. Like, I've been, you know, but you know, part of me thought that, but actually most of me just thought, yes, God, this is so good, because I've been trusting in you that you're doing more in this person's life. And I've been following your prompting, and actually I'm encouraged because I see you're working, you're doing something, you're in his case. Nothing else has happened yet. He's not suddenly said he's come to faith. He's not suddenly going to church, but I'm trusting that actually in this whole process, we built layer upon layer on that horizontal thing. And now there's vertical opportunities for him to go to another church or come to Alpha here or meet up with me and pray together. And that's what I'm kind of focusing on this morning, is that as we are salt of the earth, that we are building those layers in the day-to-day life so that when we bring people to that point, they have something to latch onto in those vertical areas as well. So that's the challenge this morning. Are we too comfortable in waiting for those vertical moments? Do we rely too much on what we think evangelism should look like or an event, that we've actually forgotten sometimes how to just be human and live out the gospel with the people around us? How often do we fail to take those opportunities when we have those conversations, when people share stuff with us and we forget to pray for them? We are salt of the earth. And if we want to see God working in people's lives, then we need to be building layer upon layer upon layer of opportunities just to see God working in the day-to-day and being ready to be used by him and praying into it as well and relying on the Holy Spirit. Let's just pray quickly. Lord, I pray this morning, I pray for those listening on the podcast as well. This is as much for you as it is for the people in the room. And however we're feeling right now, whether we feel like we're full of energy, ready to share the gospel, ready to pray for people in front of us, or whether we feel like actually there's not much opportunity, whether we feel that there've been people in our lives that we've tried to share the gospel with, we tried to say we're praying for and they're just not receiving it. But God, we trust in you. We trust that you're in work in people's lives. We trust that it's not all about us. So help give us that urgency to want to influence others, but also give us that trust that actually we just need to do what you're calling us to do. I pray for each of us here, God, that each of us listening as well, that we will realize our place in this world as salt and light, that actually wherever we're going, we can bring your kingdom. We can bring your spirit into that situation. We can pray for people. And we trust that it's you that changes lives and not us. In Jesus' name, amen.